Morning rituals, am I right? Coffee in the daily news.
What's catching your eye today in the World Chronicles, Bethany?
It's a newspaper, Lishba.
It's actually an article.
Not in my opinion, but call it whatever you want. So, Bethany, any interesting stories?
There's something about a Marianne Shad. Ever heard of her?
Come on, Bethany. Marianne Shad is a historical icon.
Well, I don't know her. Do you know who Marianne Shad is? See, silence. That's what I expected.
Guys, this would make a great topic for today's podcast, don't you think?
Hold on, we're getting ahead of ourselves. We haven't even introduced ourselves to our amazing listeners yet.
Right, whoopsies. Hello and welcome to our untold past. We got a little carried away because the Lish Bros be Miss Nerdy Face again.
Hey, that's not fair. You were the one reading the Chronicle.
Newspaper, ahem. Let's get back on track. In today's episode, we're uncovering the story of Marianne Shad, why she matters, and why her story deserves the spotlight. I'm Bethany.
I'm Chloe.
I'm Ella.
And I'm Alishba.
Let's dive into the life of Marianne Shad, born on October 9th, 1823, to a family that cherished freedom and learning. Her early years in Wilmington, Delaware, and later Pennsylvania set her on the path of advocacy and enlightenment.
Abraham Shad, Marianne's father, was a shoemaker, and Harriet Shad, Marianne's mother, took care of Marianne and her 12 siblings.
Wait. 13 children? That's so much.
I know, right? And out of all the Shag children, Marianne was the oldest, meaning she had more weight on her shoulders and responsibilities of her siblings' well-beings just added on.
However, raising 13 children did not stop Abraham and Harriet Shad from being abolitionists and civil rights activists.
During the escape from slavery and the Underground Railroad, Abraham and Harriet, along with a network of other activists, helped enslaved people escape from their enslavers.
This job was extremely risky, and if they were discovered, they might have been forced to pay huge fines, or they could have been attacked by angry slavers.
Why would they take the risk even if they knew what could happen to them?
Well, Abraham and Harriet believed helping their fellow Black Americans reach freedom was worth the risk.
Whoa, they're really incredible people.
I completely agree, Bethany, and it's no wonder why the Shad children also grew up as activists, protesting against racial discrimination.
But unfortunately, the Shad family and many other Black families had to go through some struggles of their own, too.
Marianne Shad and her family faced continuous segregation and discrimination that made daily life challenging. This made her more dedicated to their cause of uplifting all Black Americans.
One specific event changed the lives of many.
Imagine being 10 years old and told that school was off limits because of your race. That's what Delaware did. When Marianne Shad was 10 years old, the state of Delaware banned Black children from going to school, meaning that...
Wait. The state of Delaware banned Black children from going to school because of their race?
Yes, Bethany, that's what Elizabeth just said.
I know, I heard, I'm not deaf, but how could they stop Black children from going to school just because of their skin color?
The world is a cruel place. The past is full of terrible laws and injustice, but we are still able to change the future for the better. That's what we're trying to do with our podcast. That is, if you ever let us continue.
Right, sorry.
Well, as I was saying, because the state of Delaware banned Black children from going to school, Marianne and her family moved to Westchester, Pennsylvania, where their children could receive an education at a Quaker-sponsored school.
Pennsylvania was also a free state, meaning that there was no slavery, so it was perfect for the Shad family.
After moving to Pennsylvania with her family and graduating from school, Marianne opened a school for Black children and started teaching at 16 years of age.
How did Marianne Shad graduate at 16 years old when we have to go to school for like a million years? But Marianne Shad graduated at 16. This is so unfair.
Bethany, there was as much education available to Black citizens back then. Let us tell you more so you can understand it better, okay?
Okay.
Mary Ann taught black children leading the way with education because she believed that a good education was the best way for a person to advance in America.
She taught in multiple cities and small towns such as Norristown, Pennsylvania, Trenton, New Jersey, and New York City.
At that point in her life, everything was going pretty well for Mary Ann Chad. She had overcome her racial struggles and was now educating other black kids. But of course, life had other plans for her.
In 1850, when Congress passed a new fugitive slave law, which required that slaves be returned to their owners, Mary Ann no longer felt safe in the U.S. after this new law was implemented and moved to Windsor, Ontario, with her brother Isaac. Her family followed shortly after.
Mary Ann and her brother Isaac chose to move to Windsor, Ontario, since a small community of African-American immigrants was forming there.
Mary Ann didn't quit her activism just because she moved to Ontario, and in fact started juggling multiple jobs and activism opportunities as a way to pay her bills.
She continued to try and make the world a better place by becoming a journalist and publisher, writing encouraging tales to inform people of untold events.
In 1853, Mary Ann launched the Provincial Freeman, Canada's first anti-slavery newspaper.
Guided by Chad's commitment to anti-slavery issues, the paper advocated that self-reliance is true road to independence.
Mary Ann was the first black woman newspaper editor in North America, and she published multiple essays encouraging other black Americans to join her in Canada, and she continuously supported new arrivals in her community.
She smuggled copies of the paper across the border into the U.S. so that her message could reach as many Americans as possible, but she continued to live in Ontario for her own safety.
Well-known abolitionists such as Samuel Ringold Ward, William P. Newman, H. Ford Douglas, and Martin Delaney, as well as Mary Ann's siblings, Isaac and Amelia Shad, also lent their editorial voices to the paper during its run.
Wait. What do you mean during its run? Did the newspaper end?
Unfortunately, it did. Mary Ann knew that people would discriminate against her if she added her name under the newspaper, so she left it blank, deciding to not take any credit and rather explain the hidden secrets. After her paper was established and she put her name under it, readers responded negatively, forcing her to resign after 2 years in 1860.
Mary Ann faced a double hurdle of racism and sexism during this time, more than ever in her life. As a black woman, society tried to silence her with negative comments, but she turned up the volume using her intellect to stand up for others.
Unfortunately, Shaq's short and sweet marriage with Thomas Carey, a business owner of barbershops in Toronto, also ended after Thomas died in November 1860.
During their four-year marriage, they struggled a lot financially, but welcomed their two children, Sarah and Linton.
After the Provincial Freeman shut down and Mary Ann lost her husband, Thomas, she decided to move back to the U.S. as a single mother with her two children.
This was an extremely rough decision for her since she didn't have any legal or economical rights in the U.S., but after being offered a job while in financial crisis, Mary Ann decided it was needed.
Now we need to know, what job was so important to make her move back to the U.S. again, when slavery still existed?
Well, it was a very interesting job she was offered. Mary Ann Shad's friend Martin Delaney offered Shad a job recruiting black men to serve in the Union Army during the Civil War.
She was the first black woman to actively recruit troops and was even given a chance to end what she has always tried to, slavery.
So did Mary Ann Shad end slavery?
No, not exactly. Mary Ann recruited soldiers to end slavery, so a lot was on the line for her during this job.
Oh, now I get it.
Good for you, Bethany. Well, after the Civil War ended, as you can imagine, Mary Ann lost her job as a recruiting officer and traveled back to Canada to teach again.
After 4 years of teaching in Canada, Shad realized that the black population in Canada had yet again dropped. But this time, she decided to take matters into her own hands.
Mary Ann Shad juggled roles as a journalist, publisher, teacher, and lawyer. She emerged as a formidable force against slavery, advocating for African Americans and women.
In a time when freedom was just a distant dream, there was Mary Ann, crafting words that ignited hope and bravery in the hearts of many.
Oh, wait, whoops. Please don't get mad at me, but in the newspaper I'm reading, they already explained who Mary Ann Shad is.
Bethany!
I know, I'm sorry, but hopefully you learned something new about Mary Ann Shad today, just like I have.
Today we honor Mary Ann Shad, a symbol of Black excellence, whose determination and grit opened the doors for many.
Her life shines as a beacon of Black excellence, her identity and roots carved out a journey filled with milestones and tough battles.
Her spirit, unshaken by the chains of oppression, has left a lasting impact on history, emphasizing the value of Black excellence and the transformative role of education and activism.
So what wrong things or acts do you see around you today, and how will you set them right?
That's it for our episode today. We hope you make a difference in someone's life because all it takes is one kind word to make someone's day.
Our untold past signs off with the past that has been discovered.
Bye!